Anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 comes, you know, as a very pleasant surprise to me. Because here, Ecclesiastes have been talking about life. You know, the unfairness of life, about don't be too over-righteous, don't be too overly wise. Of course, you know, at the time, King Solomon didn't know the Hokkien equivalent in Singapore, my gay kyang, you know. I think that's what he meant. Don't be gay kyang, you know. Don't be overly wise. But, you know, he was talking about so many parts of life. And then he comes to the last chapter, and he talks about death. He talks about death, and he gave a very beautiful description of death. I think I've not read such a beautiful description of death anywhere other than the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But as we begin to look at this book, I think the question that Ecclesiastes is asking us, King Solomon is asking us, there's only one question. There's only one question I think he asks. Is your life worth the living? You know, if life is from God, life under the sun is meaningless. There's so much injustice, there's so much of unfairness, there's so much of atrocities and tribulations on the face of this earth. Why go on living? And then he kept saying that, you know, death is near. Death is near. Death, death, death. You know, in almost every chapter he talks about death. Because it's a life cycle. It's a circle of life. You know, and beloved, we have now come to the end of the circle. But is that really the end? Is that really the end? Thus, I'd like to invite you to stand as we read, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. Let's stand as we read the Word of God together. Okay, is it out? Oh, it is up there. Sorry. Let's read together. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoot, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all the songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well. When the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like gods. They are collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Thank you. Please be seated. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and most of all, the joyful obedience to his holy word. I think the question, the ultimate question that Kohelef, the preacher, is asking, is life really worth the living? If you look at everything under the sun, I think the answer is no. But when you look beyond the sun, when you look up to the sky, when you look upon the mountains from where your help comes, you know that life has meaning and purpose. Because the Maker and Creator gave us the meaning and purpose of life. You know, there was a story told by Bishop Moore about a young boy who accidentally, while he was walking along the street, fell into the river, and he shouted for help. He shouted so loudly, but nobody came. But one man just dove into the water. And the next moment, this man, rescued the boy. And even as he put the boy back on the street, and he was disappearing into darkness, he turned back. And he said, "Son, make sure your life is worth the living." You know, Bishop Moore, he never forget the incidents because he was that boy. He was that boy. You know, my beloved brothers and sisters, what will be written on your tombstone when you are gone? What will be written on that slab, in the columbarium? Or would it be something like, "Herein lies a wasted life"? You know, I think what we want to see written on our tombstones, we will have to work on it from now onwards. You know, not all of us are like Enoch and Elijah. Those two, they never die, because Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Elijah, a chariot of fire came, and brought him back together with God. You know, how beautiful it is, isn't it? Thus, the chapter begins with, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Remember God. You know, it's not just thinking about God. It's not saying, "Oh, I know there's a God." But it's remember God with the intent to pay attention to Him and to obey Him. That's the meaning of the word remember. Remember God when you are young. Because one day you're going to grow old and death is going to come, and you do not know where, you might be at a time. So while you have the strength, as you have the youth, the vitality, and all the vibrancy in your life, remember God. Thus, is your life worth the living? You know, life is not just monotonous sometimes. It's not just about the vanity of human wisdom and the futility of wealth and the certainty of death. I believe with all my heart that life is worth the living only when you are living with your Creator and your Maker. Thus, remember God. Youth is that part of life when there's vibrancy and vitality. Young people, that's what our church wants, to have more and more young people. We are trusting God to bring in a youth pastor who can truly be there with the young people to help them, to adapt to their needs and to help them to see God who is relevant in their life even when they're young. And I thank God that today, if I were to ask you to put up your hands and see how many of you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm sure it was during those times when you were young. Because when you're youthful, that's when you are exploring, you're searching, you're asking, who am I, why am I here, where am I going? But all these questions, though they're important, I think the most important question is, who is God? Who is God? I think there are people who are looking for God all over the world. The cosmonauts from Russia, they went up to the space and they says, "Where God? Where is God?" But American astronauts went up there and they put right there, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Beloved, God is someone that you cannot find with all your searching. But thanks be to God, 2,000 years ago, He came to search for us. He came showing Himself to us. That's why Jesus says, "Whoever has seen me has seen God," because God and I are the same. Jesus not just showed by the words of His mouth, but He showed the works of His hands. When He stilled the storm and He caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, and all those who were sick were healed, and they who had died, Jesus could raise them back to life again. This Jesus I'm talking about, He came to show us who God really is. And today, if you are still thinking about a pluralistic society where there's so many religions, every religion in the world is an effort by man to reach out to God. But thanks be to God, Christianity, it is not a religion. It's a relationship. It is God coming down to have a relationship with you. It's God coming down seeking and searching for you. And until you are found by Him, loved and embraced by Him, and living life together with Him, this God, let us remember who He is. Because our life will one day come to an end. When we think about this chapter, it's talking about life like a tent. A tent that you go camping, that you go for some mountaineering projects and some expeditions and adventure. And when you have to leave, you put down the tent. You see, our life is like that. It's slowly winding down. Because like all of us, we are growing older every day. We are nearer to the grave than we have ever been. You know, the moment a child is born, the next moment he or she is already nearer to the grave. Thus, the imminence of death is like the losing of the brightness of the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's like the fading away. No, it's also about the seasons of life. When from a child, from a baby, you're a toddler, then you become, you know, a child, a young person, a young adult, and then you become an evergreen. You know, that's what it is, a cycle of life, because the sun and the moon and the stars shows us this, you know, all those seasons. But you know what? It says, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. And then the next, he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. What is the clouds returning after the rain? It sounds like something very normal, something very usual, because whenever you see the rain, you know it comes down from the clouds, and after that it goes back to the clouds, and then you see the dark clouds, you know it's threatening rain. But it's talking about life cycle. You go back from one childhood to another childhood. You know, I related to you how when my grandmother was in her 80s, it was very easy to relate with her. Because even though she was in her 80s and I no longer could read the Bible to her and pray together with her, but I know that I just needed to use 5 words to relate with her. You want to shishi, you want to put-put, you want to mamam, you want to oh-oh, you want to go kai-kai, you know? Same as relating to children, isn't it? When you want to bring them out, you say, I want to go kai-kai, you know? So my beloved brothers and sisters, it is the dementia that comes in. It's the failing of the mental faculty that the Bible is talking about. And recently, when in June, I had the privilege of burying the person who was 106. I tell you, it was something very special to me. At 104, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just before she prayed the sinner's prayer to receive Jesus, she was in her bedroom. And she says, well, to talk to Jesus is quite serious. Can I go to the living room and talk to Jesus, you know? I say, of course, you know. Then, while the helper, who is a Filipina, she was bringing me a glass of water. I says, Mona, can you please put down my water? You know, come and help Papa to the living room. And she says, Papa doesn't need help. She walks by herself. 104. And then she was watching TV. I says, you don't have to wear glasses to watch TV? She says, no need. I said, can you hear me speak to you? Very clear. You know, she can eat, she can sleep, she can walk, she can see, she can hear. Amazing. You know, at 106, why did she die? Because the doctor says that one day, all the organs will collapse. And true enough, on that fateful day, of course it's not to us Christians fateful day, to me it was a glorious day. She just collapsed and died. Because the heart is already old, the lungs are old, the system is old, and everything just failed. And she died. But you know, when I was there, I look at this older lady. Every time I see her, she says, Pastor, why is it that God doesn't bring me home? You know, I'm just living here. I can still see. I can still hear. You know, I can do everything. I don't have dementia and everything. You see, she has no dementia. That's the beautiful thing. I told her that God has put you here to show every one of us what life is all about. And that even in your old age, you still have faith in the true and living God. Thus, beloved brothers and sisters, when you think about this, you know, when you grow older, it's kind of scary. You look at your father, your mother, your grandfather, your grandmother. You know, they begin to forget about themselves. I still remember back in those good old days when I was a young man in Youth for Christ, we were one of those prominent Christian leaders. But you know, 10 years later, we were very sorry and sad to hear the news that he was found naked on the street because he was demented and he couldn't know his way home. It was a very sad thing. But you know something? Have you heard the story of an absent-minded professor? When he went for lunch, he put a signboard that says, out for lunch, back in 10 minutes. And when he came back, he was waiting for himself. You know, absent-mindedness is very real because dementia, senility is very real. Next, when you think about the description of old age and death, it's like not just the clouds returning after the rain, but the Bible says that the keepers of the house tremble. Our hands and our arms begin to tremble. You know, they're no longer smooth and baby smooth skin that you can touch. You know, full of all those wrinkles there. But they begin to tremble. And then, you know, the strong men, it is the legs and the knees, they weaken and they bend over. I'm sure, you know, some of you might experience this. To me, when I was a young man of 12 years old, an interesting thing happened to me. Every time I look at my grandmother, why is she shrinking? She's getting shorter and shorter. I forgot that I was getting taller and taller. But you know something? Older people, because of the bone density, they also get shorter and shorter. You see, and some of them are even worse. They bent over, stooping down. And that's what the Bible says. And then it goes on and talks about others, a strong man stood when the grinders cease because they are few. You know, where you don't have too many teeth. You know, when I had the privilege to know the Salvation Army captain by the name of Captain Bungay, you know, I always disturb him, you know, whenever I see him. I say, Captain Bungay, you Bungay, Bungay, Bungay. One day you'll be called Captain Bogay. You know, because Bungay means pulling your teeth, right? But I tell you, description of old age. Then it says, and those looking through the windows grow dim, and your eyes are getting weaker and weaker. All kinds of glaucoma, all kinds of retina problems, cataract problems, and sometimes even the macular, you know, degeneration. It's very scary. But the Bible is telling you what is going to happen as you grow older. When the doors to the streets are closed, that means your hearing is becoming worse and worse. And the sound of grinding fades when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all the songs grow faint. When I look at this passage, I remember a 91-year-old lady. She was Cantonese, and her daughter Nancy wanted me to go and share Christ with the mother. Except the mother was so hard of hearing. She can sleep for days and days and days. She never get up to eat her breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And after that, she keep awake, and for days and days and days, she's awake. But you know what caused her to wake up? The sound of the birds. But when I spoke to her, I had this shout on top of my lungs. I got to say, Apo! Yeah, so oily! You know, she said, huh? Oh, I tell you, I never been more tired talking to an older person. After 15 minutes, I got no energy left. But I tell you, she finally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. 90-something. Because she was touched by the love of God. You know, she cannot hear properly when people speak to her. But yet, at the sound of birds, exactly what the Bible says, she will come. And of course, the next passage says, you know, when men are afraid of heights and of the dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. Now, I like this passage because it tells us about one man. He was a famous writer. He wrote so many poems and many beautiful books. You know, he was introduced to me by my famous favorite professor, Eugene Peterson. This man, he says that now that I'm older, I cannot go out because my father and mother don't allow me. I say, huh? What do you mean by that? He says, father time and mother nature doesn't allow me. You know, which is true. Because when you grow older, it's so hard to get out on the streets because you might fall down. It's so hard because, you know, you feel that you know you go to the toilet very often. There could be robbers out there. There could be people who have ill intention against you. But today, as you look at our church, we are so happy to have the older folks on that side, except two over here. And every time I see these two, I'm very happy to meet them because they come to church faithfully and they long to see us. They just enjoy being here. You know, though they are in their 80s, but they still love the Lord their God with a faithful, fervent heart. Beloved brothers and sisters, hey, yeah, let's give them a clap. Great. Then, man, you know, he says that the almond tree blossoms. Actually, you know, he's talking about you, where your hair has become white. Blossom. You know, I have an almond tree flower in my iPhone, you know. When you turn on my iPhone, it's an almond tree flower. But when the almond tree blossoms in Israel, it turns white. In other countries, like Japan and all that, it's pink. But don't know why in Israel it's white. It's special. That's why the Bible says when almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, it's very hard to get out because your body is weak, you're tired, you feel like there's so much dangers up there, better not go. But thanks be to God for our older folks. You know, our older folks are older than many people. On Thursdays, they go out for visitation and visit other people whom they call older folks who are younger than them. I cannot understand this. They say, oh, we go and visit the old people. They themselves are in their old age, you know. Just like Joan's mother, who is already 85. 86. Yeah, 86. Then the next verse, then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. It talks about death. But you know, the next few verses give such a beautiful description of death. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. And the dust, you know, returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. You know, what a description of death. The death is a very real thing. It's a very scary thing. Because when death occurs, everything becomes zero. Can you imagine that? Everything becomes zero. That's why Job says, naked I come, naked I go. You know, all the great men that ever lived, they tried to have the elixir of life. They want to have something that would prolong life and they will never see death. But yet death is almost invincible because nobody can conquer death. But the Bible is telling us it's a silver cord that's severed. This cord is holding the light or holding something that's special and important. And the bow is broken. The pitcher is shattered. And the wheel that's helping to bring out the water from the well is broken. It's like everything becoming zero. The big zero. Beloved, naked I come, naked I go. You know, these verses in the Bible tells us who we really are. It tells us who we really are. That you and I are actually dust. Dust. Dust is right in this room. Dust is right in your one-room HDB flat. Dust is in your big bungalow, wherever is District 9, 10, or 11. Dust is in the Istana. Dust is in Buckingham Palace. Dust is in the White House. All of us are but dust. And, you know, what's the difference between us and all the animals? They are also made of dust. The only difference is that God has breathed into us a soul spirit. That's why, hopefully, the spirit returns back to God. Beloved, that is life. A description of life in the old age, and then death takes over. So then, every morning, when you look at the mirror, you can be the most handsome or the most beautiful person in your company and in the nation, or you can be very capable, you make tons of money, and you are able to travel all over the world. However great and significant you are, when death comes, we go back to the dust. You know, every time I think about death, last night I was speaking at the funeral too. It was someone who was 90 years old. At the last minute, I was asked to come and speak at his funeral because his wife thought that he was close to me when he was alive, and they just wanted me to be there. And I was privileged to be there. But here is a man that is a very eminent man in his days. When he was serving together with Singapore Airlines and building it to where it is today, you know, he was a very capable man. But then he was lying on the coffin. Death has taken over. You know, I sometimes think of myself as a minister of death. Because, beloved brothers and sisters, I have buried more people than I've married couples. But thankfully, the couples, they come in two. So there are still more marriages than death, you know. So I want to tell you this. when death comes and take over, we may be washed by the same embalmer who washes the feet of the poor man. He also washes the feet of the prominent person. You know, the embalmer. You know, some of you may not know any embalmers in your life. But I know of these two, you know, brother and sister team. They enjoy what they're doing because they want to give dignity to people who are dying. And I tell you, it's not an easy job. It is not an easy job. But when you think about death, the funeral, you know, the coffin, you know, everybody who dies go into the same size coffin. However rich you are, however powerful you are, the same size coffin, and if it's buried in the ground, it's the same plot of 6 feet ground, you know, that we are buried in. Because that is where the equalizer is. Death is the great equalizer. But you know, in the midst of all this, Kohelet, the preacher, says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Because when you think about life, at the end, it is death. Death takes over. What then? How then should we live our life? Thus, the next he goes about, he says, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and said in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. And the words of the wise are like goats. They collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. My beloved young people, please don't go back to your parents and say, pastor say don't study, because the Bible says much study wearies the body. You know? No. I don't think we are talking about that. You know, I want you to know that when you go into a dictionary of words, many of you young people, you grow up with encyclopedias. Nowadays, we don't use the word encyclopedia anymore. Wikipedia, right? It's called Wikipedia. You know, sounds a bit not so nice, Wikipedia, you know. But I tell you that we try to learn as much as possible. We want to accumulate so much knowledge and information in our minds. That's why the Googles, the Yahoo, and all those MySpace or whatever is good for you, because you think you know what is best. But you know what? In the midst of all this encyclopedia of words, what are you looking for? What are you actually looking for in your studies that wearies your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit? What are you looking for? I think the one question there. The first question is, who is God? So that I can remember him. I can pay attention to him. But the second question is, what is truth? What is truth? Because in the midst of all these dictionaries of words, you are trying to hang your life on, your values on. You know, the goats are those things that they use, the shepherd used to prod the sheep and prod those cattle so that they move on. They go on to better grounds to search for better pastures. That's what they are all for. I think in life, that's what we're looking for. The best of everything for our lives. But what are you really looking for? I thank God that the world has come to realize that we are seeking for truth. We are seeking for truth. Because truth is what everybody is looking at. Reality. What is true, what is sincere, what is honest, what is of integrity. That's what we're all looking for. So, beloved brothers and sisters, let's live for what really counts. You know, Corrie ten Boom said this, the measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. It's not about how long you have lived, but how much of your life you're giving to others. You know, a man or a woman is not complete or wholesome without these two things. You know, what are those two things? You know, Kohelet says, well, when you come to think about it, you are searching for the truth. That's very, very important. But what then is the truth? You know, Wikipedia can give you many things, knowledge. But today, I thank God, when you go to your WhatsApp, and all the links are sent to you, people always ask me, is that true? What is the occasion? Who spoke this? When was it spoken? At what occasion was it spoken? You know, that's why it's so good to know what is true news and not fake news. Because fake news, we start spreading them, it becomes rumors and gossips and brings a lot of destruction to life. We seek for what is truth. What then is truth? I think truth, as I've said to you again and again, is the blending of realism with, you know, idealism with realism. What is ideal is also real. Because the real and the ideal must match together and merge together, then you know that is truth. But remember, every time I come before you, I don't think I forget saying this, Jesus Christ loves you. That is the greatest truth and reality in the universe. Jesus Christ loves you. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God the Father except by me. Because Jesus tells us the truth about ourselves. When we have lost the discernment, Jesus tells us what truth is all about. When we have lost direction, Jesus came to show us the way back to God. When we have gained a death sentence, Jesus gave us life. And life that's eternal, life that's true, life that's purposeful, life that is with reason. That's what Jesus came to give us. Thus, beloved, what is truth? When you are looking through the dictionary of words, are you looking for the truth? Stopped. Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, D.L. Moody, his life verse was living in the truth. Because when you're walking in the truth, you're walking in the light, and when you're walking in the light, you're not fearful of darkness, you're not fearful of whatever can cause you to stumble and to fall, because the truth will liberate you. The truth is what we're looking for. If you're not living in freedom, you're not living by the truth, then, beloved, I'm very sad for you. Thus, at the closing, the next thing is not just the truth, but why are we here? Why are we here? You know, the measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. It's donation. It's giving. It's a life that's giving, not just a life that's taking, grasping, and everything that's grasping for ourselves. You know, when our hands keep grasping and grasping and grasping, we can never open our hands to receive. But God is here. God wants us to live for what really matters. And there are two things that really matters. Firstly, fear God. And secondly, keep His commandments. Because to fear God is putting God right where He belongs. Putting God right at the center of your life. Having faith in this true and living God, because this fear of the Lord is a holy reverence for God. You know, as this great man by the name of Oswald Chambers, he has written many wonderful books. But the one thing that he said, I never forget, he says, when you fear God, you fear nothing else. But you do not fear God, you fear everything else. How true. When there's no fear of God in our lives, we are afraid of death. There's no fear of God, we are afraid of the future. When there's no fear of God, we are afraid of what lies beyond that we cannot see, we cannot know. But thanks be to God, when you fear God, the light of God's word is an inner illumination that even when you're walking in the darkness, it becomes light to you. First, let's obey God's word. That's what it's all about. Remember God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because you are to pay attention to Him and obey Him. That's what it's all about. First, the word of God is what you can hang your life on. You know, it will be the word that puts you on in times of trouble and temptation. The Bible is God's instruction book for life. You know, every time we have a new gadget, a new device, you know, when all things fail, read the instructions. But in life, we don't need to wait for everything to fail. Even when everything is going on right, let's read the instructions, because God has given us instruction for truthful, honest living. So, beloved, is your faith and your hope in God? Or is your faith and your hope in life itself? Because ultimately, why am I here? I am here not only to know God, to live with God, to fear Him, but to keep His commandments, because death is not the ultimate destiny of life. Please don't think that death is the ultimate destiny of life. A lot of people think, die, after all, become nothing. You know, when I was serving Youth for Christ and young people, some of the young people, they're so rude. They say, who cares about death? It's just a long holiday, you know. We're just going to be there and singing and dancing. I say, sorry, there's no singing and dancing in hell. It's only darkness, brimstone, and fire, and suffer, and suffering. Beloved, death is not a disappearance. Death is not a displacement. There are people who say, oh, you're displaced because you become something else. But the Bible says, for it's appointed for all men once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Yes, death is the great equalizer. But there's another greater equalizer than death, and there's judgment. That is the greater equalizer. Because all of mankind have to sit or stand before God when the books of life are opened and your names are not found written in the book of life. I'm very sorry for you, my beloved brothers and sisters. I'm sure that when God brought you into his house, when God brought you here today, he wants you to listen to the words of life. But is your life lived together with your maker and your creator? Or your life is just a life living to yourself and your dreams and all your ambitions and all your agendas? But today, as you come into his presence, let us remember, death is not the ultimate destiny. Death is a great equalizer. But the greater equalizer is accountability. All of us have to come into account before God. So, yes, there comes a final date. All destiny of mankind is death. That's what it's talking about. But there's life beyond death's door. Life is special because God gave us life. But death is equally special, because death is the doorway into the presence of the Almighty. The very day you die, that same moment when you close your eyes, when death comes knocking your heart's door, that very moment, Jesus is in front of you. Everything you hear about Jesus, everything you talk about Jesus, everything you read and studied about Jesus, everything you've experienced in Jesus in life becomes reality at that moment. How special death is, because death allows us to enter into the presence of the Almighty. Beloved brothers and sisters, death need not be scary, because death is the gateway, the doorway into the very presence of God. So then, in closing, what are you living for? Why are you here? Are you here to make a living, build a nice house, have good children, good education, make a name for yourself? As Kohelev says, you know, a good name is better than fine perfume. All of us have three names. Names our parents gave us, a name that others gave us, and a name that we make for ourselves. I hope you remember what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You know, a good name is better than fine perfume. But is your life worth the living? In the midst of a world of duplicity, deception, and lovelessness, is your life worth the living? That is life's ultimate question. Is it worth the living? I think it's only worth the living when you're living by faith in the lover of your souls, Jesus Christ. Life is only worth the living when you're living with the giver of life. Because when God made us, we're dust. But God blew life into us. Only he knows what will give us fulfillment, satisfaction, and enjoyment in life. Yes, when we are nearing death, desire is no more, because you've eaten all the abalone and shark's fins and lobsters and everything. But you know something? There's something beyond the physical, the transcend, the temporal. There is so much different. It is the eternal, because God has given us the eternal. So then, you know, life is full of adventure. Forrest Gump says, life is like a box of chocolate. You do not know what you're going to get. That's why let's live by faith. Because we're not going to know what's lying ahead of us. You know, our life need not be routine, boring, and predictable. Because you can live in the presence of the Almighty. You know, Michelangelo, the great artist, painter, at the age of 88, he had a medal that was struck up for him in his honor. On one side of the medal was a portrait of Michelangelo. But on the other side, it shows a picture of a blind pilgrim holding a staff and guided by a dog. But below were those words, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you." You know, this is found in Psalm 51, verse 13. Michelangelo, his medal has those words on it. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will come back or turn back to you." You know, here is a man who is so famous, whose paintings are all over the world, especially in the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. But you know what? It's to remind him that even in his old age, he should live a life that's submissive to God. First then, let us live our lives to the full. Life is to be enjoyed, you know, but not to the extremes. That's why it says, don't be kekyang. Don't be over-righteous, because people won't like your over-righteousness. But be righteous. Be smart. Be wise. That's what it should be. You know, live life not to the extreme and not at the expense of others. Remember the story of the young man? He was there when an old foolish king was trying to defend the city, and the city, you know, was invaded by all those enemies. Yet this young man, he was so wise. He had a strategy to overpower the enemies. But yet, at the end, he got nothing. You see, sometimes people, we take advantage of them. We do not honor people who need to be honored. We do not care for people who need our love. We are not there for people. First, live lives to the full, but not to the extremes and not at others' expenses. Secondly, let us live so as to be missed when gone. You know, I'm not saying that your life must be always making sure that people remember who you are. I mean, there are many great people, you can't even remember that. We can't even pronounce their names. But I'm saying that your life, established by God's work in you and through you, it remains forever. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 teaches us. Let the compassion of God establish the works of your hands. So let us miss, you know, live so as to be missed when gone. You know, that's why this great man, Jim Elliot, he said he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose, because his life, even though now is about almost 60 years or more since he died. Of course, I know he died in 1956. You know why 1956 is so important to me. He died in 1956. But those words seems immortal, because here was a life that was lived to the full, given to God. And finally, let us live on the promises of God, not the explanations of life. You know, life, there are many things that we want to explain. Why the disease? Why the disabilities? Why the dangers? Why, you know, difficulties? Why death? Why? But I remember telling you in this book, there will be many mysteries in life, but God will fill in the blanks for you and for me. Because God knows everything and He controls everything. But when you're going through tough times, it is not about why this is happening, that is happening, but when the peace and the comfort of God and the promises of God become so real to you, that's how you're going to live your life. So live your life based on the promises of God, not on the explanations of life. But in closing, I think the greatest futility of life is to live it without meaning, without purpose, without your maker, without your creator. Remember God while you're still young. Remember God when you can still move. Remember God when you can still eat. Remember God when you can still see. Remember God when you can still listen. Remember God when you can still serve Him. Because this God, He loves you. This is the greatest truth in the whole world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, those are difficult words that we hear from Kohelet. But yet as we think about our life, we know that life is meaningful under the sun, because it can only be meaningful when we look beyond the sun. So thank you that you place us here on planet Earth, not just to be dust, but dust with a purpose. Dust will live our lives to the full. Dust who live on your promises. Dust who wants to be remembered long after we're gone, because the works that follow us are works established by your Spirit. So, Father, speak to us through your word. May your word continue to create that longing and desire in our hearts to be satisfied by you and you alone. Thank you for your faithful love for us. Thank you that each morning as we wake up, you are waiting for us to bless us. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's rise as we sing the last song. Exalt the Lord our God together.